Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Albert Breer now with us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, does it seem like there's been more schedule leaks this year? I mean, I feel like last year, maybe because how things were going with the pandemic, it seemed like there wasn't as much leaked out. But a lot's been out there already, Albert.
Yeah, and I apologize for that, guys. I think I my Bluetooth messed up when I got in the car. Right. I think part of it is, you know, them trying to the league trying to kind of create a bigger stage for all of this and promote the show that's on at 8 o'clock tonight. Maybe like also coming to the realization that they can't keep all of it under wraps, you know. And so I think that's why you see it on the Today Show and on Fox and Friends, and you know, I think it's just trying to find a way to maybe mainstream the schedule release a little bit, so more casual fans are aware of it, and maybe they get a couple more eyeballs on it come 8 o'clock.
Albert, the Browns are going to open up with Kansas City on the road. Is this good for the Browns or bad for the Browns?
Good, I think, Dustin. I mean, I think it gives you a measuring stick right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I think you get an idea of what you're going to need to do to get to that level, even if you don't win the game, you know. And they put up a hell of a fight last year in the playoffs. Obviously, Chad Henne and not Patrick Mahomes being in for a good portion of that game made a difference. But I think you're probably gonna have a confident Browns team that felt like, you know, for the better part of that game, they were able to hang with the Chiefs. And getting the chance to see them, you know, in week one, everybody's gonna be, I would say, relatively, if not fully healthy and ready to go. And it's going to be a great measuring stick for the players and great measuring stick for the coaches too, and kind of creating a roadmap for where you want to go. I also wonder this, guys. I mean, would it like make you more apt to maybe play the starters a little bit more in the preseason, knowing what you've got coming in week one?
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, you got your toughest game all season in week one. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how they handle that with the three preseason games. Albert, speaking of the preseason, you know, in the past, the game three was the dress rehearsal, and game four, for the most part, no starters played. Will game three still be the dress rehearsal, or will now be game two, and then three nobody will play? What do you think?
Well, it's sort of interesting. I think part of the reason why they set it up the way they've set it up is so, like, that you would, like, if you want to play your starters in week three, you can. Because if you guys noticed on the schedule, it's still 2 weeks before the opener.
Yep.
And really that fourth preseason week has been eliminated. So I think the intention in the league doing that was saying, okay, can we motivate teams to play more of their starters in the third preseason game if we have it 2 weeks after the opener? Then you can play your guys there, you know, and then still turn around and give them time off before week one. That said, it's also for the coaches going to be the last opportunity you get in a game setting to see the guys who might be on the roster, you know. And so I think you can see both sides of it because, like, again, like, you know, like, you might not want your starters to go 3 weeks without game action, but then you also might want to use that, you know, that stage there in the third week of the preseason game to kind of get, like, the last real good look. It got at, you know, player 46, 47, 48, 49, you know, 58, 59, 60 on the roster before you make decisions on cutdowns.
Albert, what's the latest in the Aaron Rodgers saga?
The latest I would say is that they're in a little bit of a cold war right now. I think communication continues to be an issue. And I don't know exactly how they're going to solve that, other than by talking to each other. And I don't know how much of that's going on right now. Now, you know, there's not like a hard deadline coming up in the next couple of weeks. Really, the first one with any sort of consequence would be that veteran mini camp. And even that one, that's $95,000. It's a lot of money for all of us. For Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I think it might be something he's willing to swallow to prove his point. I think where the rubber really meets the road is at the start of training camp. And so, right. You know, I think the solution here is going to have to be both sides are going to have to move a little bit, you know. And the Packers are willing to give Aaron a contract. Are they willing to give him a commitment to build more aggressively for the next 2 or 3 years and to really kind of shift the way they've done business for the last 30 years to accommodate him? And I think, you know, Aaron's going to have to kind of come off of his spot a little bit too. It's going to be interesting because, like, really, this is something that's been brewing for over a year now. And so I think there are hard feelings on both sides. And, you know, whether or not they're able to find a way to come to a compromise, I think it's going to take, like, you know, the essence of that word, compromise, from both sides to find a way to get something done. But I don't think the Packers are of a mind right now to even think about trading Aaron Rodgers. Maybe when we get to July that changes, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, getting back to the schedule for a minute, no doubleheader week one Monday night this year. Why did they get rid of that?
It's a good question. To be honest with you, I did a bunch of reporting on that like a few weeks ago. And I'm going to be completely transparent. I just sort of forgot what I was told on that.
fair enough.
I do know this. They are going to have Monday night doubleheaders. I think I want to say there are three of them.
Okay.
I might be mistaken about that, but I want to say there are two or three of them over the course of the year that are baked into the new CBA or the new television deals that will kick off in 2021 or in 2023. I'm sorry. And so I know the plan was to move off of the doubleheaders on Monday night then, and really part of the reasoning was they wanted to stagger the start times and accommodate both ESPN and ABC, you know, because Disney will be having those doubleheaders, one game on one network, one on the other network. And I'm just kind of like putting the pieces together in my head now. I think a big part of it was like just, you know, from a ratings perspective, the 10 o'clock game didn't really work great for them for obvious reasons, and so you are going to see Monday night doubleheaders in the future when the new television deals kick in. But I don't think it's going to be what we've seen from the like week one doubleheader, which was like the 7 o'clock 10:15. I think what we're going to see is probably something a little bit more like, and if I remember right, I think it was like an 8 p.m. kickoff. And then like a 9:30 kickoff, something like that, like where the ratings won't be as affected by a really, really late start time.
Albert, the Cowboys play the opener in Tampa Bay against Tom Brady and the Bucs. Is Dak Prescott definitely, I mean, I guess you never know for sure, but is he expected to be back in week one without a doubt?
Yeah, I mean, the expectation is he's going to be ready for camp. And I look, like this has been like a little bit of a bumpy recovery, so I don't know that like you can guarantee anything right now. It's a complicated injury he had. You know, it's like there can be infections, things can go wrong. Like I'm careful to speak in absolutes when you're talking about an injury like the one Dak had. But you know, the latest information I got was that they're expecting him on the field at some point during training camp, hopefully to start it. And like, he is absolutely on track to start week one. And I think one thing that sort of helps with all of that is that he got hurt so early in the 2020 season. I think it was week 3 or 4, right? And so the fact that he got hurt that early, obviously, you know, makes it more likely that he's going to be ready to start the following season.
Albert, they did go back. We had no London games, obviously, last year because of COVID. And while things are certainly improving, it's not gone. Was the league still debating whether – I know they're only doing two games this year. Did they consider waiting one more year before going back to London?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you can see it in the fact that they're not going to Mexico City, right?
Right.
Like, and they'd like to go to Mexico City, but they're not going to Mexico City this year. And the reason why they're not going to Mexico City is because the case rate, the caseload there is much higher than it is in the UK, and the vaccination rate isn't even close to the UK. In fact, I believe, like, with adults in the UK right now, the number is 52%. And in Mexico, it's 11%.
Yeah.
So they're way, way behind. And so, like, I think a big piece of it was that, like, you know, was where are they from, like, you know, a case per, you know, per capita basis, you know, domestically. And then it was also, like, where's the vaccination rate right now?
Right.
And, you know, I think the other thing that helps them in the UK is, like, they've got the agreement to do two games there, and they could do it in back-to-back weeks in the same venue, which really helps as far as setting up your protocols. You don't have to make an adjustment for this venue versus another venue. There's not the variable of the dates being spread out. They're going to be right there next to each other, and they can sort of package those two together where they can use a lot of the protocols they used for the first game on the second game. And the other thing is that, like, if you look at England now, so the FA Cup, and trust me, I don't know much about soccer at all, but it's just based on what I was told today. The FA Cup over there in England is going to happen on Saturday at Wembley. There are going to be 21,000 fans there, and the Premier League is actually planning to start their season, their next season, in August. And I guess every indication there is they're going to have full stadiums then.
Hmm.
So because of those things, the NFL feels pretty confident that London's going to be ready to have a game. And have multiple games there when we get to October.
Albert, do you think Tim Tebow makes the roster in Jacksonville?
Hell no.
What's behind this?
I don't want to, like, point the finger at Tebow, because good for him, you know, and
right.
A lot of people doubted him as a quarterback coming into the NFL, and he didn't last very long, so a lot of those doubts were right, but he still won a playoff game. And yep. I think a lot of us laughed at him and, you know, thought it was fantasy camp when he was going to play for the Mets. But he made it to, what, Triple A? Right? Like, which, how many guys?
He didn't earn his way to Triple A.
But he made it, like, and he didn't, like, his batting average wasn't zero, which is more than a lot of us would do, right? Right, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was pretty awful, though, his last year, Albert. He was horrible in Triple A.
All right,
stop being so mean to the guy, Bull.
I'm just keeping it real. He stunk. He was. I'll grant you, he was a little better than I thought.
Let Albert talk. Let Albert talk, Bull.
Go ahead, Albert.
Just making it there. I mean, like a sport he hadn't played since high school. Like, I think it's an accomplishment, don't you? I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I thought it was an accomplishment when Michael Jordan was in Double A, and I know there was a ticket sale, but the fact that he didn't just, like, flat out fall on his face, I thought was an accomplishment. So, I mean, like, I don't want to doubt the guy, but I also know this, and Dustin can speak to this better than I can. I playing quarterback and playing another position in football, that's two different things.
Two different
and
things.
It's like, I mean, like, honestly, it's like a different sport, and there's so many things. The learning curve is just so steep, and he's 38 years old, and I think the reason you do it if you're Urban is, you know, you've got the relationship with the guy, of course. That's not a non-factor. And you know, Tim's done a lot for Urban. There's no question about that.
Do you think he wants Tebow to mentor Trevor Lawrence?
No, I think it is? I think it's like Urban knows that he's got a program to sell. And I think it helps when you've had guys who've been in your program before to, you know, like, kind of send that message to the locker room that this works, you know? And so it's even like drafting a Luke Farrell out of Ohio State, you know, in the whatever it was, the fourth, fifth round last weekend. It's, you know what, like, it doesn't hurt to have guys in the locker room who have benefited from your program in the past. And we saw, like, we've seen coaches do this, like Rex Ryan. If you go back to, like, 2009, when he got to the Jets, he put one of those guys in every position group room. Like, you know, Jim Leonard in the secondary and Bart Scott at linebacker. Like, he brought guys from Baltimore as, like, sort of, like captains of each room, you know? And so I don't think, like, I understand what Urban's doing here. I don't know that it's really worth it for the circus that it'll bring. And, like, you know, the fact that if he's just terrible, like you may lose some credibility with some players. But I can understand why Urban would think there's some benefit in doing it.
Albert, last thing. I don't know if this means anything. It probably doesn't. But the Packers just signed Blake Bortles. That does that mean anything to you in terms of Rodgers?
Yeah, they need another camp arm. And this stuff always happens, you know, and we try to make too much of it. And does this mean they're trading him? Like, no. It means, like, there's a possibility that you are going to go into training camp with a limited number of quarterbacks because Aaron might not be there. You're going to go into OTAs over the next few weeks. How many guys are you going to be able to cycle through? And so I think having a guy who knows your system, who can run your second or third team, I think there's real value in that. You look at it and, Blake Bortles played for the Rams, played for Sean McVay. So there's some crossover there with Matt LaFleur. So to me, like, it just makes sense. You know, it's just the guy you can bring in, and Blake gets the benefit of being there and getting to fight for a job. And the Packers, you know, get a guy in there who knows what he's doing and who can, at the very least, help run your second or third team if Aaron doesn't show up.
Last thing, Albert, who starts week one for the Bears if you had to bet right now?
I think it'll be Andy Dalton, but I think by the middle of the year it'll be Justin Fields. That'd be okay. My guess. I do take Matt Nagy at his word that the ideal here would be like what happened in Kansas City in 2017. Remember, he was the Chiefs offensive coordinator that year, so he was there for that. And like the ideal is the veteran plays really well, you contend, and the rookie gets a year to develop. That's what it was in Kansas City. Alex Smith played really well. The Chiefs won their division. Patrick Mahomes got a year to sit. So the idea here then would be Andy Dalton plays really well. The Bears win the division or, get in the playoffs, and Justin Fields gets a year to learn. I think the question becomes how quickly does Justin Fields develop, and does there come a point where the locker room sees Justin Fields is going to give us a better chance to win? But I don't know if Justin Fields can do it by week one. And I think that's what sort of makes this unique this year with where the quarterbacks went. I think you've got three teams in the Niners, the Bears, and the Patriots that have designs on contending this year right now. And, like, to me, I look at it and I just, if you're one of those teams, I think you have to kind of say, like, okay, like, we cannot, like, just throw a guy out there and take our lumps in the name of developing him. We have to serve the rest of the locker room here. So, if we're going to be a contending team, we got to give the quarterback who's going to give us the best chance to contend, the chance to play.
Albert, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.